We've been talking about Isaiah 9, 6 and the gifts God gives us. And last week and then this morning, we talked about how we're supposed to take the things that God gives us and assemble them. Because a lot of times you say, well, I'm a Christian. I think I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I have my Bible, but what do I do with these things? We talked about this time of the year, how a lot of times parents, you get things that require assembly with a lot of instructions. And if you're with us this morning, one of the Lego books, instruction books for one of the sets was 228 pages of instructions. And how we go through that and how we put up with that and we put things together and how little attention we pay to our Bible. But God gives us instructions, and sometimes they seem like a lot, but we have to take them a little at a time. So just before we get in, I'm going to look at a verse, kind of Mark 9:24. But before we get there tonight, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night, a holy night indeed. Thank you for all your blessings of worship and strength and wisdom. And Lord, we just pray for your strength. We pray for a relationship, a deeper one with you. And for those of us that don't have one, a relationship with you, Lord. So just teach us, encourage us, and be with us this night, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So Mark 9:24, if you have a Bible, if you don't, you can just grab one or just go ahead and listen. But in Mark 9:24, Jesus, they just had the transfiguration. He's coming off one of the biggest moments in the Bible with his select three apostles. And they're coming down the mountain and they're confronted by this man whose son is demon possessed. And the man simply says, and it's not that he doesn't have any belief, but he says in Mark 9:24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And it's our discussions this Christmas season, like I've said, have centered around Isaiah 9:17 and those items of God's character, gifts not only to be received, but more importantly to use, because they're descriptive of who he is and the responsibility of the believer to take those items by following the instructions put forth in God's word, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, by whatever means he sees fit. And 1 Corinthians 13:12, the very end of it, says in the Living Bible, but then I will see everything clearly, talking about a relationship of God, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. Think of this, the God of the universe sees into your heart right now clearly. And as we walk with him, there's at times where you don't see very clearly, you don't understand what's going on, but we have the how-to book, how to assemble the things that God puts in our lives, those seasons like the Christmas season or times of real prosperity or times of hardship, and how to put them together, not to reveal something, but someone. Like this time of the year, we talk about the birth of Jesus. That's a big someone. That's a big someone. And the God of the universe is the creator of your soul. Psalm 139, read that. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't ever let anybody tell you any less. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, so that you will not fall away and grow weary of the greatest gift of all. Instead, the desire to grow with him is what we should have. So the framework of your living in this world and fulfilling your purpose isn't so much stuffed with what you're going to eat tomorrow if you already had tonight, but with meaning and to know how to realize and recognize the totality of the context of the big picture. And you might say, why? So you can be helped with what often happens and we struggle with is our belief. We struggle, even with Christians, you struggle with your belief, like this man was in the Bible. And many will say they believe in God, although what that means and how deep that goes determines how you live. And it's not determined by the quantity or quality of the gifts you receive this year, although some people do, but on who you have in your life and how you deal with that. If you remember from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Herod believed that the Son of God was born. He heard there's a king born, so he sent the wise men out to investigate. He knew enough, he thought, but he believed enough to send them out. And guess what happened to the wise men? They went, they found the baby Jesus, worshipped him, and then God gave him a vision and said, don't go back. And they didn't, because they believed. They believed who spoke to them, and they knew who spoke to them. They saw and they had faith, not in their own circumstances, but what they considered the totality of the situation. And guys, living in bits and pieces is not good for us, because we're born into the world that God created. And there's creation, the fall, the redemption, and restoration. And right now, we live kind of between the redemption and restoration. But you can't forget the creation and the fall, because that's part of the big story. I mean, God created everything good. Adam and Eve sinned. There was a fall. We're all born sinners. But God sent His Son into the world to redeem us. And now He's going to come back to restore everything. So there's this huge story we live in. But often we just think of what's right here. And that can be real dangerous. That can affect our belief. And it narrows the heart and denies Genesis to Revelation. And the result is you can believe, but you need help. Now, Genesis 15... 5:7, Abraham, God comes and speaks to him, and He says, "Then He brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them.' And He said to him, 'So shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and He accounted it to him for righteousness." Now, this word "believed" in Hebrew, and we're going to see this twice tonight. There's a thing in the Bible called the first mention, that when something's mentioned first in the Bible, that from that time on, God takes that and builds upon it. That it never changes, it just grows. And that's what this word here, first time it's in the Bible, right here, Genesis 15, 17, believe. And the Hebrew is aman, or it's A-M-A-N, almost like the last name, one short. But it means that's the Hebrew word for believe, aman. And it means, and it's interesting because it's to build up or support, to foster as a parent, or to nurse. That's kind of the context of the way. It's like your belief, and this is the first mention, Abraham and all of us, is going to need some nursing. It's going to need parenting. And that's why parenting is so important. And a nurse is, when you need a nurse, important. Tress was in the hospital last week. You know, we buzzed for the nurse, and when she wasn't coming, we needed her. You know, because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't. I'm like, all I was trying to do was turn up the heat in the room. It was on some old, and I got caught once. And I said, I don't know what I was doing. It was because it was cold in there. And it wasn't the new ones. You had to take it off and adjust it by this thing. And I, you know, and she caught me doing it once. And I said, I was just trying to turn up the heat. But nursing is important in our belief. And we need sometimes parenting and help. And then it says to be firm or faithful, to trust, to be permanent or quiet. It has all those things in there that says, like, sometimes we just have to listen. Because sometimes you think, well, if I'm not doing anything, I must not believe in God. Or if He's not telling me to do something right now, then my faith is weak. A lot of times in ministry, in life, you go through seasons where God's just training you for the next job. And He's working on your belief, the trust factor. And the interesting thing, it's the aspect in the Hebrew, it's an expression of a completed action, that this is already done, that he doesn't have to worry about it, it's done. It's not going to be taken away, it's done, and expresses an action. Now, Paul takes this verse in Romans 4, and he talks about it, and we're going to look at that in the Greek, and you're thinking, well, I'm learning a lot of Hebrew and Greek and things tonight. Well, we're going to learn it a little bit. But Paul repeats this in Romans 4, where he says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this is the word pisteo, and it means, and this is where I want you, how we make this connection, because we have words this Christmas, you see, believe, you know, hope and faith, believe, faith and hope. And this word for believe in the Greek is faith. The word believe is directly connected to faith. And I know this, we all have been given a measure of faith. And the victory that has overcome this world for 1 John 5:4 is your faith. John says, 1 John, towards the end of the Bible, the thing, your victory that has overcome this world is your faith. And it's directly connected to the word believe. And I never knew that before until I did this study. And it's important because the end of this means to put trust in God. And we put trust in so many things and believe in them. You know, like an old car, you're like, I believe this car will make it to Rapid City. And sometimes you say that with real, like, instead of a period, like a question mark. Like, I believe, that's like we needed new tires on the van. I asked Woody, I said, well, what do you think of them? He goes, I really wouldn't drive too far on those. You know, so I got new tires because I don't want to drive too far on those tires. But it's interesting because also this is a verb, it's an action word, and it's a commitment and an effort that our faith and belief sometimes need to be shown. And it's just not a faith in faith, because that doesn't get you anywhere or anything. You know, sometimes people say, well, I have faith, and it's, but then you wonder, what is that? What is that? Faith in what? A good definition of the word faith is conviction that God exists. This is looking at the big picture. And is the creator and ruler of all things. The provider and giver of eternal salvation through Christ. That he does all those things. It takes into consideration everything. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I used this quote this morning if you were with us. He said, it's only by living completely in this world that one learns to have faith. By living completely in the world. You can't check out. You can't just take a pass. You have to live completely in it. And that's why it's a key component of salvation. So you say, what's the big deal with belief? Why on Christmas Eve? Why did Jesus come? He came for salvation. Your salvation. And the first mention of the word salvation, and this is really interesting, Genesis 49:18. When you read through Genesis 49:18, Jacob is giving the blessings to all his sons. And right in the middle, he says, I have wanted for your salvation, O Lord. Just out of nowhere. Right when he's talking about the tribe of Dan, and all of a sudden he just says one sentence. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. And what's interesting, this is the first mention, and this word salvation is developed from this time in Genesis through the entirety of the Bible. But it means that which is delivered safe or victory. That's what salvation is. That which is delivered safe and victory. Salvation. That our salvation, when we believe in God, we have faith in Him, is that we are delivered safe and victorious. And how comforting is that? How comforting is that? That as we go through this world, when you believe in Jesus Christ, and even if your belief wavers, you will be delivered safe with victory. And amen to that. When you say, well, how? You say, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. In Ephesians 2:8-9, you can turn there if you have your Bible, but it's for grace we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. It's by grace through faith. And that word faith here is, interesting enough, pretty much the same. It's the same root as pistis, but this is a noun. It's not a verb. It's a person, place, or a thing. For by grace, God gives us that through faith, the person, place, or thing. It's something we're just to take. It's just at that moment, we just take it in. We don't do anything with it at that moment. And it's the person of Jesus Christ. To believe, you must set your heart on the object of true love. And you have to let Him keep you there. An absolute object of sufficiency. That you have to set your mind on something that is sufficient for you and for your salvation, and that's Jesus Christ, real and living God. It's a very identifiable, infinite source of life and direction when it seems like there's absolutely little or no sense of direction. Think of this, grace you don't deserve, God gives it. Faith you do control, like I said in Romans 12:3, you've all been given a measure, and Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall keep their faith. You have to live by your own faith. Back to Mark 9:24. We're getting towards the end here before communion. You have to have faith in God. You must have faith in God to really keep your belief strong. Now, unbelief means a want of faith, and there's some things that may weaken your faith. But guys, in Christ, you'll never lose your faith. Romans 3:3 says, "For what if some do not believe?" You say, what if some do not believe? Paul brings it up. "Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" He's saying, even if some people don't believe, that does that mean that God doesn't exist? Not believing doesn't make God any less real, only not existent in your life. Or if a Christian, just kind of a mere shadow instead of a fulfillment. Mark 6:6, Jesus said, and he marveled. Jesus marveled, wondered, could hardly accept the fact because of their unbelief. And he went around the villages still teaching. Jesus, when he was teaching, said, I can't believe that they don't know who I am. The religious leaders who study about me and are trying to teach the people have created such a mirage and a wall, they don't even see me when I'm standing here. But he still went around teaching. And the effect of this, Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Paul's saying he couldn't even believe how powerful God was. It just staggered him. It just staggered him. And the importance of this word, faith, it's found 86 times in the Gospel of John alone. 86 times. 229 times mentioned in the New Testament and 41 in the Old. But the Gospel of John, 86 times. Paul was living with and without God at one point in his life. 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer, Paul says, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now the believer can waver, but cannot give your faith away, because once saved, always saved. I really believe that. But why live in spiritual completeness only to deny its life-giving power? Why deny the power of God and attempt to fill your life with anything else? You can attempt to put into your life Buddha, Krishna, and the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 step programs, but your soul immediately recognizes that outside of the healing, redeeming, restoring power of Jesus Christ, it's nothing but a cheap substitute. I heard Ravi Zacharias say the other day, he said, you can label an empty bottle with whatever you want, but guess what? It's still empty. Amen. It's still empty. He said, well, you can put Buddha, Krishna, whatever step, fill it with whatever you want, but it's still an empty bottle. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. And your soul, the thing is, your soul recognizes that. You can put any kind of self-help book outside of Jesus Christ in your life. It's only a Band-Aid, but you need to address the real issues. It's your separation from your Creator. And that's why he came. That's the only reason why he came. I mean, who would send their only begotten son into the life to die for sinners, to restore him to him? Only a God who loves and cares. So many believers agree Jesus is God forever, but the things of this world pull them away, especially this time of the year. And just wrapping this up, Christmas comes with words, like I said, belief, faith, hope. But do those surround and occupy your heart, mind, and soul? Are they the protector of your heart? You know, what protects your heart? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you do, is your life governed by faith in him and the resulting hope, or something competing and less than fulfilling? Christmas is all about believing, faith, and hope. Think of it, it's all about that. It's the story of a birth in every way. A birth of a child, the Savior, the new life he makes possible for each one of you. A new beginning as the past can be covered. A new year around the corner. And most importantly, the promise of eternal life. But listen to this. If you do not begin your spiritual journey with the Bible's exalted teaching of God, you will never travel very far. You'll never understand how wonderful it is to be created in God's image. You will never understand the depth of your sin or tremble before the perfect holiness of God's righteous judgment. You will never fully appreciate the incredible greatness of God's mercy or the absolute wonder of his forgiveness. And you will never long for the true joys of heaven when God's children will live with him forever. The context of your existence involves living in the big picture. And it's Jesus, 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 guys, from the beginning to the end. Emmanuel, God is with us. So if you don't have a relationship with God, guys, after the service, come and speak with me. And if you just need prayer for something after we do communion, just come and speak with me, guys. But there's things you will experience in this life that you say are just great. but these are things that you'll never experience that are eternal, that are just awesome. So let's see, John, who else can help us? Earl, Ted, and Kenny, I'd pick on you, but you got Montana and she's not much of a help. Well, Taylor can help. Yep. If you guys want to pass out communion implements, please, just follow the lead, Taylor. And while they're doing that, I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, the story of the night. Luke chapter 2, you can just go ahead and listen or just read along with me. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out, thank you, from Caesar Augustus, thank you, Taylor, that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is an awesome picture. I love this part. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields. And guys, shepherds were the lowest of the lowest class. There wasn't any worse job at that time than being a shepherd. Keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." Like he said, there might be born. He said, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. They ran. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Isn't that an awesome story? As we come to communion, which God commands us to do and wants us to do, let us just take this time, take some time just to give God anything in your heart right now that is bothering you, that you need to just forgive somebody, or that you just want to communicate with them. So let's take that time to do that right now before we partake of communion. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this holy night.
We can't thank you enough, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, there's times, many times while we're down here where we need your help. And you knew that. You knew that, Lord, before the foundations of the earth were laid. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to help us, guide us, and strengthen us, and encourage us. Teach us. And Lord, let us never give up. Let us always hold that hope of heaven through belief and faith. Lord, that day of victory, that day of salvation is going to come. And we look forward to that, Lord. Lord, we just praise you and thank you just for all you do and will do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
You guys got one you're going to close?
Perfect.